Listen to our passage for this morning from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. For those of you who are visiting with us, if you look on where are they located? Oh, they're on the other side of the bulletin. And you also have the sermon notes. Listen to these words that come to us from the book of Judges as it relates to one of the judges, not a judge in a black robe, but he was one of the six great judges in the Bible. There was a total of 17 that was mentioned, and his name is Gideon. Gideon. Listen to these words as it relates to this experience of Gideon. Uh-oh. All right, listen well. The angel of God stretched out the tip of the stick he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. Fire broke out of the rock and burned up the meat and the bread while the angel of God slipped away out of sight. And Gideon knew it was the angel of God, and Gideon said, "Oh no, Master God, I have seen the angel of God face to face." But God reassured him, "Easy now. Don't panic. You won't die." Then Gideon built an altar there to God and named it Jehovah Shalom. Bless you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Look to your neighbor and say, Jehovah Shalom. Yes. Truly, God continues to bless America. And we should never take it for granted. In fact, if you think for a moment, when you hear the word 4th of July, there are many different spin-offs. Yes, indeed, it reminds us as it relates to the historical perspective. The 4th of July is the birthday, if you will, of America. It is a reminder of what occurred on July 4th, 1776. It reminds us of Independence Day. It is more than a long weekend, more than barbecue and other festival outings in its proper form. It is a time to remember freedom. The freedom to worship God. The freedom to fellowship. The freedom to have courage before those who are against the will and the ways of God. In fact, it is a good time to celebrate. And indeed, we celebrate. We wear red, white, and blue. We are proud to be Americans. Amen? We're also proud of those who give witness to our faith and to the lives that we can touch by sharing our witness and our commitment to Christ. On yesterday at the parade, we had a great presentation. Look at there. This is our youth group, and this is our bus, and our bus driver, where is he? Wayne here. And we thank God for our adult sponsors. They were looking real good. And I received this communication. Don't they look good there? And even the bus. Give them a hand. Some of them are still here in worship. But the 4th of July reminds us that we must continue to move on and forward. We must continue to celebrate. There was a young man who the parents thought that he would be born on the 4th of July, but God and his mother made the final decision, and he was born on July 5th. There he is right there, John. Amen. Amen. Today is his birthday. What's in a name? What's in a name? Look to your other neighbor and ask that question. What's in a name? Yeah, what's in a name? When it comes to God, God has many different names that we give homage to and respect as it relates to God. And if you look at the screen, you'll see all the various different names of God. But this new sermon series will journey us into acknowledging God as Jehovah. Jehovah, it means the supreme God. And Jehovah has many different spin-offs and attributes as it relates to God coming into our lives and meeting our needs. Let me just give you a few. Jehovah Shalom acknowledges the peace of God. Jehovah Rapha acknowledges that God is a healer. Jehovah Nisi acknowledges the banner of God, that he will give us victory. And then Jehovah Rapha. It reminds us over and over again of the goodness of God. And Jehovah Roh reminds us that God is our shepherd. And I want to focus just this morning on Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. In the midst of all of what we're dealing with individually and collectively, what's going on in our world, we need peace. Not just play peace, but that peace which surpasses all understanding. That peace that comes from God. And thank God, if you look closely at this passage of scripture, it reminds us that God wants to give us that peace. I like the story about the little boy. The little boy was in Sunday school class, and he was busy working on his artwork, and someone asked him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm drawing a picture of God. I'm drawing a picture of God." He said, "Well, no one has seen God. How are you drawing a picture of God?" He said, "Well, they'll know him after I finish." He was determined to get it done. What is your picture of God? Where is God in your life? Where is God in my life? Have you ever felt abandoned? As though God was not present? That God had walked off from the face of the earth. Maybe he's in someone else's life, but he's not in mine. Well, there's a biblical character by the name of Gideon. And if you look closely in Judges, the 6th chapter, Gideon comes on the scene. And he comes on the scene, and Gideon, his life is surrounded by what I call 3 D's, the 3 D's of the text. Because if you look closely, they are presented in our text today. If you want to write them down, go right ahead. Perhaps you can identify with at least one of the three, or maybe all three. Number one, the disobedient. The disobedient. Not only was Gideon disobedient to the ways of God, his people were disobedient to the ways of God as well. Number two, as it relates to Gideon's life, Gideon felt defeated. He felt defeated. And then lastly, Gideon was discouraged. Discouragement had entered his whole being. How do I know? If you have your Bibles, follow me. Look at Judges, the 6th chapter. And the Bible gives us this description. It doesn't play around with it at all. It reminds us that Gideon was hiding. Gideon was afraid. Gideon, we would say, was weak. In fact, the Midianites were now holding Gideon and his clan. That's his reference if you continue to read the 6th chapter. Gideon's clan was now in bondage and under submission of the Midianites. They were terribly afraid. And the Bible says that while Gideon was hiding, he was not being visible, but he was hiding behind the wine press. Just like me hiding behind the communion table. He was pretending that the Midianites nor God would see him. And if you look closely in the text, you will see that God dispatched an angel. We don't have the name of the angel, but the angel comes, and the angel represents God and the presence of God. And he goes right there from the oak tree, and he's now in conversation with Gideon, hiding behind the wine press. That's so significant in our own lives today. It reminds us that we can't hide from God. Amen? You can't outrun God. You can't outbox God. God can find you. There's no way possible among the earth that you can get away from God. How do I know? If you have your Bibles, look at the 139th Psalm. Even David, that second king of Israel, David gives us this description. David says, "Where can I flee from thee?" He was asking a question. If I fly off to the utmost parts of the mountain, guess what? God is there. David said, "As I even go down to the valley low, if I go down to hell, guess what? God is there." He realized there was no way that he could escape from the presence of God. And there's no way that you and I can escape from the presence of God. God is omnipresent. He's in the same place at the same time. And if he can find Gideon, guess what? Yeah, that's right. He can find you. Amen. That's right. He can find you. And the angel has a conversation with Gideon. In fact, the angel speaks positive words in the life of Gideon. Oh, man of valor. Now, some of you have this contemporary translation. It says, "Oh, warrior, oh, great warrior," uses an adjective, "oh, great warrior," speaking into the life of Gideon. And if you look at the sixth chapter, look at Gideon's response. His response would be just like our response even today. Who, me? A warrior? A great warrior? A great man? A valor? Are you talking to me? Do you know my plight? And look how he goes into an argument with the angel. Gideon says, "Do you understand my clan?" And the angel says, "The Lord is with you." Gideon responded, "With me? No way God is with me. Because where is the God who delivered my foreparents from bondage, from Egypt? Where is God? Where is God when the Midianites invaded our territory and now have us under submission? Where is God?" Friends, don't play around with God angel or God messenger. Amen? You look closely in this passage of scripture and you'll see that the angel was not disturbed by all of this back and forth and excuses and trying to point out that God was not present at all. This angel stays firm. So much so that he told Gideon that God is getting ready to use you. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Look to your neighbor, maybe to the right or to the left, whichever person you like to... No, don't do that. And ask that person, "Do you have an excuse?" That's it. That's the question. Ask, "Do you have an excuse?" Yeah. Yeah, do you have an excuse? Hold right there. Don't go another further. Do you have an excuse as it relates to serving God and doing what God has called you to do? And there's a calling upon all of our lives. Look at Gideon trying to debate with this angel and coming up with various excuses not to do what God has told him to do and to be. So so much so they cut to the chase. Gideon says, okay, if God is with me, then prove it. Let me test God and see. And Gideon asked the angel to wait. Wait right here. And indeed, the angel did move, according to the scriptures. He waited, and Gideon went back. He got a goat and some bread. And he brought those elements back. And look what happened right there in the text. In Judges, the 6th chapter, the angel of God demonstrates the power of God. And you read the scripture and you just look closely in this passage of scripture. He takes a stick and those ingredients consumed was caught on in fire. You're talking about a barbecue. Right before Gideon's eyes. And he was amazed and he was humbled and was willing to do what God called him to do. But then he was also afraid. He was so fearful that he thought that he was going to die because he came face to face with an angel. And God told him, and I like the way Eugene Peterson shares it. Just calm down. Don't panic. You're not going to die. And Gideon allows those words to come into his spirit, and look what Gideon decided to do. Gideon decided that he would build an altar, and that altar is present even today. And he would dedicate it to God, and he would call that altar, that place of worship, Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever is going on in your own experience, know that God will be with you. God would speak a fresh word to your souls if you open up your mind and your ears and listen to what God is saying. God wants to give you that assurance that his peace is not like the world's peace, that the world can give it to you and then take it away. But God's peace is eternal, has eternal dimension, and he shares with Gideon that peace. And Gideon, he worshiped God in private because now he understands that God is with him. Is God with you this morning? We should have private worship. And then look, keep reading the text. We should have public worship as well. Where is public worship in Judges, the 6th chapter? Just keep reading. After this episode, Gideon is told to go and get his father's prime animal and sacrifice that animal to God. Why? Because the people, the children of Israel, they were worshiping the God of Baal. They have forgotten that God, Jehovah, was the true and living God. And they decided to worship the God of Baal. But then God tells Gideon, go and get the great animal, the greatest animal in your father's camp, and sacrifice that animal. Gideon still, he was a little timid, so much so he decided to give that sacrifice at night. But don't you know, whatever is done in the dark, that's it, will come out in the light. You read the 6th chapter and you'll see how they were upset the next morning when they noticed that Baal's altar was burned down and now there's another altar to God. And they wanted to know who is responsible. And Gideon's daddy, Josiah, he comes out and he defends his son. And he says, why don't Baal defend himself? But to no avail. And Gideon used this moment as a platform to worship God. He was willing to worship God in private, and now he was willing to worship God in public. See, it's okay to worship God in here, but what are we doing behind closed doors? Are we worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are we dealing with our own situations, thinking we can do it on our own, with our own strength, with our own power? Are we hiding behind the wine press? What are you hiding behind? What am I hiding behind? Isn't God strong enough to protect us? Strong enough to give us peace? What is peace? Look to your other neighbor and ask that question. What is peace? What is peace? In the midst of what's going on in our world, what is peace? There's war, there's terrorism, there's division, there's crime. What is peace? I'm glad you asked. Read this with me. It's right here on the screen. Peace is bigger than calm. The word shalom means wholeness, completeness, or well-being. God's shalom is a sense of endearment that I'm saying to you in the words of our brothers and sisters in Israel today. They will greet you by saying shalom. Shalom. That's, I'm concerned about your well-being. I want God to give you the best and the best things of life. Shalom to you, my brothers and sisters, and know that God's peace is not predicated on what's going on around me. That's happiness. There's a difference between happiness and peace. Happiness is based upon what's going on around us. But peace is predicated about what is going on in us and through us. And that's the peace of God. You don't believe that? If you have your Bibles, and I'm getting ready to close. Look at John's Gospel, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. Listen to these words recorded by John of Jesus. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying to you and to me, be of good cheer. Have a smile in your heart. And know you can have a smile on your face. Because I have overcome all the tribulations you will experience. I am God Jehovah, and I give you peace. Thank God for his peace this morning. Hallelujah, and praise God that we have the peace of Jehovah. Things may not be going as well as we want them to be, but we have peace within. The hymnologist said it this way. When peace attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows rose, whatever thou lot thou hast taught me to say, guess what? It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We thank God for his peace.